long drawn process, and we hope that at the end of the day, we come to an agreement.
Ibrahim Momo is a political analyst. He spoke with me from the Nigerian capital, Abuja. In Uganda, attorney Mathias Mpuuga, the leader of the opposition in parliament, says it was disappointing for President Yoweri Museveni to expose legislators and others to COVID-19. Thus, he says, despite knowing that he had tested positive to the coronavirus. The president recently delivered the State of the Nation address in parliament. He said one of three samples tested positive. He has since gone into forced leave, delegating his duties to Prime Minister Rabinah Nabanja. Mpuuga also expressed concern that significant amounts of public funds are used to test citizens for the disease who attended public events attended by Museveni. A negative test is required before any meeting with the president. Attorney Mathias Mpuuga tells me that the president should have given speeches via Zoom to protect the public.
Well, what is very interesting is the coincidence of being the only person that insists on being testing everyone before meeting him. But again, it turns out that he's the only person who is sick. So that coincidence can only be explained by witchcraft, not science. And you see, the gist of our advice that we gave yesterday laying the fact that, one, the testing centers are concentrated to one of two centers. Secondly, it became costly for the taxpayer to fork out 5 billion Ghanaian shillings at every occasion when Museveni was going to meet people. So this week and next week, 5 billion for State of the Nation, 5 billion for the budget speech, we don't need that. I am right now doing oversight into the countryside, schools without basic necessities, without furniture, without toilets, without classrooms. You can't spend that money. So if there is a threat of COVID, then the president can deliver his speech on Zoom. We also advise him and his family that are vulnerable because of age to take a booster dose. So if he's that vulnerable to COVID-19, we advise him to stay home, speak to the people via Zoom, also take a booster dose. So his declaration of COVID infection is a bit suspect. Probably we shall get the truth going forward.
But what also, do you mean is declaration of testing positive to COVID is a bit suspect? I don't you believe what the science says?
Only him has seen the science, not any other person. So that I don't believe in the science. Why it is suspect is because he's the only person who tests everyone coming close to him. Those coming close to him are not sick, but he's sick. Secondly, it comes at the backdrop of us questioning the wisdom of compulsory testing, which means that they're trying to really play that and make it validate the requirement for testing that we believe is a money-minting project for a few regime operatives.
Would not trust that assumption from him. Some people are suggesting that the specific places where the tests are taken are for security reasons, because these are security implications. Those places, they argue, have been properly equipped to ensure that security is not compromised.
Again, I don't believe that, because we have facilities that have been testing people that are traveling, that have been testing members of parliament before, and they were never questioned. Why are they being questioned now, when WHO has declared COVID no longer an international pandemic of emergency nature? They were testing hitherto, and there was no problem. So why are they a problem now? I was in audience of the president in the same place 2 years ago, using different labs and hospitals, and there was no problem. So when did it become a security problem? Just validation of wastage.
So are you saying that opposition lawmakers should forthwith boycott President Museveni's speeches if these amount of money would have to be spent, or now that he has contracted the disease, he should speak via Zoom only?
It is actually both. His declaration of COVID infection vindicates our position, namely that he can deliver his speech via Zoom, but also that money would be saved. So for the country, it's a double benefit. They will listen to him, but also stay away from him. But also, it brings his assertion into perspective. He knew he had COVID. Why did he move to address people? Why did he have to really go and address people aware that he's sick? Or to declare immediately after his speech? What is his intention?
Are you saying that the president deliberately exposed people who came to the State of the Nation address to COVID?
Exactly. That's my point. Because he declared himself infected immediately after his speech. So why did he have to really subject people to that kind of danger and expose them to possible infection when he was aware that he was infected?
Attorney Mathias Mpuuga is a Ugandan parliamentarian. He spoke with me from the capital, Kampala. Listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half, Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent of Africa. From all over the world have begun to arrive in South Africa ahead of Sunday's 96th edition of the Comrades Marathon. Run between the cities of Pietermaritzburg and Durban, the 89-kilometer route is laden with spectators on the side of the road from start to finish. The prize pool of $220,000 shared equally between men's and women's winners makes it the richest race on the African continent. Defending men's champion Tete Dijana and former women's winner Gerda Sten are two of the favorites this year. For VOA, Myron Nicker has this preview for us from Durban.
That's the iconic Chariots of Fire. Vangelis's masterpiece brings the crowd to their feet as the winner of the Comrades Marathon heads towards the finish line. It's among the many traditions of this century-old race. The brainchild of World War I veteran Vic Clapham, the Comrades Marathon was first run in 1921 to commemorate South African soldiers killed during the war. A small group of 34 runners entered the race that year, paving the way for an event that has stood the test of time. This year, more than 17,000 runners will line up at the start in Pietermaritzburg to make their way towards the coast. The journey to the finish line in Durban is undulating, creating a unique challenge for both elite and amateur runners. Celebrated South African runner Sean Micklejohn, who won the race back in 1995, counts it as one of the proudest moments in his career.
Being a Comrades winner is something that many top athletes dream of and only a few achieve. It was the proudest moment of my running career, and now I have a winner's blazer that I can wear with pride, even if it is only once or twice a year. And my name is now engraved on the winner's trophy, which is forever.
For more than 50 years, only white South Africans were allowed to run the race due to the apartheid laws in South Africa. Today, in a democratic country, the race attracts a melting pot of people. Over 2,400 runners from around the world will line up at this year's race. 173 athletes from the USA will join the field, while India, with 403 runners, is the leading nation outside of South Africa. This runner, who hails from India, says completing the Comrades Marathon is at the top of his road running ambitions.
It is a prestigious marathon and the oldest marathon, and it is in my bucket list. That's why I came here to India, the toughest marathon in the world. So I want to check my endurance That's why I came here.
The race, which starts at 5:30 a.m., has cutoffs at various distances. The main cutoff at the finish is at 5:30 p.m. More than 85% of the field come home in the final hour of the race. Runners spend close to 12 hours on the road, pushing their physical and mental endurance limits. But as these athletes attest, despite the pain experienced, the incredible feeling of crossing the finish line makes them come back for more.
Now your character is what will push you to the finish line. So you need to be more of a strong person in terms of a character. You need to be very resilient as well, because I think after 60 kilometers, to be honest, your mental fitness kicks in and your physical fitness is already out of the window.
There's no better experience, my brother. If you haven't run the comrades and you're a runner, you need to come here, because once the bug hits you, you'll never stop going.
When the massive field lines up outside the Pietermaritzburg City Hall, months and months of preparation will undergo what organizers have dubbed the ultimate human race. It will be boisterous. It will be festive. Then, silence. As South Africa's national anthem signals the start of proceedings. 100 years on, the race continues to embody the triumph of the human spirit. For VOA Africa, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Kenyan musical sensation and four-member band Soti Soul this week performed their final show in the United States after announcing the group's indefinite hiatus. VOA's Mike Hobe caught up with the band before its final show and produced this report.
The East African group Soti Soul left fans emotional after a thrilling performance in Washington, D.C. as they concluded their final 6-city U.S. tour after taking to social media to announce a prolonged break. A statement released May 20 witnessed Soti Soul telling their fans that they'll be taking an indefinite hiatus a day before their show in Atlanta as part of the Madaraka Festival, a U.S.-based East African showcase. Simon Okele, the founder of Madaraka Festival, said Soti Soul's final U.S. tour was a spiritual journey for everybody.
You know, the announcement that Soti Soul made right before this tour has made this entire tour like a spiritual journey for everybody on the tour, you know.
Willis Austin Jimano, one of Soti Soul's vocalists, brought calm to fans after explaining the indefinite hiatus does not mark the end of the group.
It's not the last, it's a hiatus. And still at the end of it all, we have been together since high school for such a long time.
Soti Soul member and guitarist Polycarp says the hiatus could end at any time.
Well, we said indefinite hiatus, so it could take 2 years, it could take 2 months, it could take 5 years, whatever it is.
Soti Soul's record label, Soul Generation, has vowed to release a new album and continue other projects. This despite the break by its founders.
The record label is very much intact. We're about to sign new artists. So that's our legacy, as they say. So there's a lot of umbrellas that are around the Soul group.
Group vocalist Savara says Soti Soul has successfully been together for over 18 years due to professional guidance and their strong bond as friends.
It's a marriage between four people. A marriage between four people has to be sorted out by professionals. So like, anytime we need help, we seek help. We have a therapist, we have people who mentor us.
Vote for the 2014 MTV EMA Best African.
The East African group has a long list of accomplishments to their name. Among them, the award for Best Africa Act at the 2014 MTV Europe Music Awards, and in 2021, a Grammy certificate for featuring on Burna Boy's Twice as Tall album that won the Global Music Album Award. Bien Ain Baraza, the fourth member of the group and vocalist, says performing and dancing alongside former U.S. President Barack Obama is among the group's highest accomplishments.
We've been so lucky to have so many amazing moments. I think dancing with Obama is a moment for us.
Soti Soul is set to tour Europe next, finalizing their international performances in Baghdad on September 3 before starting their hiatus. Mike Ove, VOA News, Washington.
Right now it's time for music from our African collection.
that Friday feelings come again. Only goodbyes and energy. We're gonna dance the night away. Me and my crew gon' tear it up in time. Tell somebody, love to batane kilele ni. To kari ki se wageni. Me and my crew gon' tear it up in time. I'm setting myself free. Ring the authority. Shit talking jealousy. Won't take a toll on me. This is not your normal party. This is vogue, there's a dress code. Every corner's getting flashy. Stay wise, stay woke. Tani fata kati kati. If you know, I guess you know. Every color on my mind. I'm gonna let it out tonight. That's why the feelings come again. Only the vibes and energy. We're gonna dance the night away. Me and my crew gon' tear it up tonight. Till somebody love to batane kinele ni. To kari kise wageni. Me and my crew gon' tear it up tonight. Na 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 na.
Baby, would you put me in your diary? In my life, yeah. We never seen. My name is Divine Tembenba from Pretoria in South Africa, and you are listening to Nightline Africa from the Voice of America with Peter Clotty. Stay tuned and don't change the dial.
To Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington, D.C.
Kill him, baby. Kill him, baby.
That was music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Michael Holbrook, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, the charcoal seller's daughter will one day wear a white gown.